FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
All right. I am here in beautiful, deteriorating Las Vegas, truly one of the great failed cities of the world. It's worth going to if you haven't been lately, just to see how bad things can get and are getting almost by the day here. It's sad. Been coming here for two decades now, and the transformation that the place has undergone is amazing. But we're at Freedom Fest, amazing conference. This is the sixth time we've been here. Oh, by the way, as always, if you want to participate in the show, you want to be part of the show, then email me, kl@kerrylutz.com. I'll be glad to read your questions on the show if they're germane, but any criticism, feedback, we'd love to hear from you. It makes my day. You know, I start out my day every morning, even in Las Vegas, at a coffee chain that will go unnamed. It's kind of taking the Statue of Liberty's place. They want the unwashed masses. They want them huddled, and they want to just give them free Wi-Fi, give them a place to stay, a bathroom to use, whatever it takes to further the progressive goals of that chain, even to the detriment of the chain itself. And that's what we're seeing in Las Vegas. Sin City is becoming something more than that. I'm not sure what. But anyways, hey, on a brighter note, person you're about to hear from, we'll show you how to be happy, even in a world that some might argue is less happy, less pleasant, and less perhaps positive than it has been in previous times. But maybe that's all just a state of mind. Person you're about to hear from, Dr. Joel Wade, author, noted coach and speaker, and so much more. And Dr. Wade, we're thrilled to have you on the show.
Hi. Good to be here, Kerry.
So, happiness. We've got a dysfunctional society in a lot of ways, and many people get affected by it, often get depressed about it. But could you be happy in Rome while it was burning?
Well, first of all, I think it's a bad premise, because if you look at human history, I don't want to be Pollyannish about this. There's plenty of problems for us to solve. But if you look at where we've come from and all that we've been through as a species and the point we're at now, we're winning. we are more rational now. You wouldn't know it from watching TV at all, but I actually just watched TV for the first time in a long time last night. And boy, if I were judging by that, I'd feel the way that you're describing it. But I really think by any measure, any objective measure, whether it's longevity, violence, poverty, ability to travel, environmental state of the environment, particularly in the West, it's almost a miraculous difference toward the positive, and the direction is excellent. Politically, you know, there's lots of trouble. There always has been and always will be.
Yes. So that's a great point that you make, that we tend to get hung up in our day-to-day existence. We lose perspective on really how good things are. I mean, look, I was thinking about it. If you were born 100 years ago, and that would be right after World War I, all right, you want to go do a load of wash. That was an all-day affair. You wanted to go travel from one end of the country to the other, whatever reason. That was probably a week, maybe even 2 weeks. And on and on and on, we see improvement in every aspect of our existences, to the point where maybe now we've gotten a little decadent because things are really too good. And yes, we've got problems and the political system is a wreck and nobody can deny that. But things overall continue to get better in spite of things appearing to be worse. How do you reconcile that, Dr. Wade?
Well, the truth is we get used to whatever our circumstances are. We're creatures of habit. And so we habituate to whatever our environment is. And right now, if we just go by our what we see around us, and particularly if we watch the news or something, we can easily get the sense that, things seem worse. Actually, we tend to think of our childhood years as sort of the golden years, and there's a reason for that, because the grown-ups are taking care of everything. Now, they may have done a better or worse job of that, but when as adults, we got to make the money, we got to worry about things, we got to, pay attention to what's going on in the world. As a kid, you don't have to worry about that stuff. And so we all have kind of a natural longing for that feeling that we had, and it usually reflects the time when we were kids. So that's why it's important to look at history and get perspective with that, because it really matters whether you're seeing us as up against a daunting, overwhelming tide of history against us, or if we're sort of surfing the wave, a very positive wave that we've created as human beings.
So while there are a lot of areas where we've advanced, arguably, there's many where we've maybe come back, morality, public morals, education. It seems that a lot of the people who never went to college were better educated than these people with PhDs today. And so it's always like two steps forward, one back, I guess. But finding happiness. So this country was founded upon the principle of pursuit of happiness. It's such a scarce commodity. So many of you out there really wonder, when am I going to be happy? And so the question is, how can you be happy in a tumultuous world? Because it is tumultuous.
Well, there's two different definitions of happiness, broadly speaking, and it really matters which one you think of as happiness. There's the happiness where I feel good right now. I'm getting what I want. Things are going my way. It's a happy moment. I'm having a good time right now. And Las Vegas is built on that version of happiness. And I'm all for it. I love having things go my way and getting what I want. But it's not something that you have a lot of control over. You have some say in it, but you can't really control. I mean, when was the last time you had a big belly laugh? They happen sometimes and it's wonderful, but you can't go, okay, now at 5 o'clock, I'm going to have a big belly laugh and it's going to be successful. So the alternative view of happiness is Aristotle's view, what he'd call eudaimonia. And I like the definition, success at being human. And that's something that we build by, as Aristotle said, practicing our virtues to their habits. Things like gratitude, courage, integrity, forgiveness, achievement, focusing on the things. Those are things we can control. We can decide, even with something like courage, it's not something we're born with. It's just a matter of managing fear and deciding to act. So if you can actively work to manage your fear, and some of us have a lot of fear, some of us not a lot of fear, there's things that can be done for that. That's part of what I do in my practice. And then deciding to act. Say, okay, I got to do this now. I'm just going to do it.
Okay, so we've got happiness in the moment, and that's kind of about being present, not worrying about things that are going to happen in the future, of which, as you said, very little of it is controllable by you, and not worrying about things that happened in the past that you didn't control that went wrong, to allow that to interfere with your present happiness. And then there's
happiness that's kind of a longer term proposition where you kind of work on, as you said, being human and perfecting or attempting to perfect the art of being human. So, but there's so many of us in society today, Dr. Wade, hooked on drugs, looking to for externalities to give us internal happiness, which can only be found from within. So how do you shift the search, the journey for happiness from outside of you to inside of you, I guess, is really the question.
Well, the first step is you got to find some strength somewhere within yourself. And the best way to do that, the simplest, most direct way, is gratitude. Start paying attention to the things that you can feel grateful for in your life, the good people in your life, the things that have gone well, the support you've had. Now, for some people, that's going to be hard to find. You know, maybe you've had a lot of rotten people in your life and a lot of really hard times, but still it is there. And that's the place you have to start, with a sense that in some way there's at least a corner of the universe that's a friendly place. It's kind of like in the movie Apollo 13, when everyone's freaking out, there's an explosion on the ship and everyone on mission control doesn't know what to do. Gene Kranz says, okay, wait a minute. What do we got on the spacecraft that works? So practicing gratitude is kind of like, okay, I got a lot of things to deal with here. It's overwhelming, but what do I have that's working?
And that is a great point. I find for myself, I do a gratitude list 3-4 times per week, things I'm grateful for. The list doesn't usually change. My health, first and foremost, my children, for their great lives that they're leading, and goes down the list. And it is a good thing, you know, because, hey, attitude of gratitude really does strengthen your resolve and lead you to expect more good things. So then we've also got the issue of, I guess, just thinking, like, one of the things that I do, it's a little strange, I started doing it recently, is before I get up in the morning, watch some things on YouTube, like Rodney Dangerfield, comedians, get into a happy, laughing mood. Some of this stuff is just hysterical beyond belief. But also, I'll watch, and might accuse me of Schadenfreude, but I'll watch Election Eve, when all of the pundits, except yours truly in a very small group, totally miscalled the entire election, and seeing their cognitive dissonance, where reality turns out to be something totally different than they ever expected. And then realizing, hey, whatever you think of President Trump, he never gave up. He had a goal in mind. He pursued it with everything in his power, and he accomplished it. And you would think that even if you were a Trump hater of the highest magnitude, that you would be able to appreciate another human being excelling like an athlete at the Olympics or in the World Cup soccer game, where somebody just beats all possible odds and they accomplish. And yet some people just can't accomplish that. They can't appreciate the human spirit excelling, which is what I think it's designed to do.
Well, I agree. I think our spirit is designed to do that. And the tricky thing about the political thing, you know, you could have the people, you know, in 2008 when Obama won, or in 2016 when Trump won, there's half the people were unhappy. Half the people were happy, more or less. And the thing about it is, and I'm not advocating being apathetic or you know, hiding your head in the sand. You want to pay attention to what's going on and do whatever you actually can do. But almost everything to do with politics is, unless you're actively a politician or in the system of that, is totally out of your control. You're watching events happen outside of you, and you're at the mercy of of whether your guy wins or your guy loses. And it's just, it's not a good thing to invest a lot of your time and energy into, because the most important element, this goes back to the Stoics, Epictetus, talked about it's important for your own well-being, for your peace of mind, to focus almost entirely on what you can control and almost nothing on what you can't control. And so I watch the news on TV rarely, but when I do, I immediately, what I feel is a sense of helplessness.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what they count on. It's like reality TV. So that is a great point of focus on the things you can control. Don't focus on the things you can't. But the moment that Trump was elected, those people's lives objectively did not change one iota. Nothing changed anywhere. It was only a fear of change to come. And what about this fixation with fear? Because fear generally centers around a future that you cannot control. And that's just not real, is it?
Well, no. Well, in a sense, yeah, there's plenty of possible scenarios where bad things will happen that we could be scared of. But politically, people are getting scared or happy or angry about ideas. And ideas are important. I mean, the concepts are important, but the game of it is really easy for us to get caught up in. I think ultimately, because just biologically, those of us whose ancestors worried about whether there is a wild animal outside of the cave and we're scared of that are our ancestors. The ones that weren't are not.
Yeah, they didn't make it. So some concern about the future. Obviously, how am I going to pay for rent? How am I going to afford food, clothing, the basics, gas for the car itself? Some of that concern is justified, but there's a difference between concern and fear. Fear is going to make you unhappy. Concern is going to direct your efforts to accomplish what you need to accomplish.
Yeah, well, fear is like when I mentioned courage. You know, courage is about managing your fear, managing anxiety. And then the other element is deciding to act. And so if you get too caught up in your fears and your worries, first of all, if you're worrying, I can almost guarantee you're focusing on something you don't have control over. So it's a total waste of time. I mean, I worry sometimes and I catch myself. It's natural. But the other thing is, if you're focused on your anxieties, that's part of life. Anything you do that's new or matters to you is going to cause you anxiety. I play water polo. I'm on a master's team and we're very successful, but I've been playing for 45 years and I'm still get anxious before every game. And if I try and calm myself before a game so I don't feel that uncomfortable anxiety, I'm first of all, I'm not going to play very well. And second of all, I'm not going to enjoy it, because the best thing that can happen is the game is over and we've won somehow. So it totally separates me from being engaged in my purpose, which is to get there and play my very best. So when we focus on the anxiety, it distracts us from our purpose. The anxiety is going to be there. But so shifting to, okay, what's my purpose? What am I here to do? And accept the anxiety as a feature.
Makes a lot of sense. And reminds me of the old saying that worrying is payment for problems not yet received. Worrying is not going to solve anything. It's not going to help you do anything. If anything, it'll take you out of the area, the zone you need to be in, and really distract you from accomplishing what you're setting out to do. So, you know, worrying, the old saying, worrying never solved anything. So, Dr. Wade, we want to find out more about you, want to connect with you on the web. Where do we go?
My website is drjoelwade.com, drjoelwade.com. And if you sign up there, you get a free Learning Optimism e-course. I'm launching my new podcast the end of the month. And so be on the lookout for that. And I have my book, The Virtue of Happiness, and a little older book, Mastering Happiness.
All right. Hey, that's exciting. Well, podcasting runs true and deep in our souls here at Financial Survival Network. If you got a question for Dr. Joel Wade or myself and you want to connect, like I say, best part of my day is getting your emails in the morning before I start my day. The email address, kl@carrielutz.com. Our Twitter feed is @CarrieLutz. Our Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Hey, Dr. Wade, really appreciate your sitting down with us. Been a pleasure speaking with you. Best of luck on everything.
Thank you, Carrie. Appreciate it.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.